Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Holy Saturday always begins with waiting. And this morning, like many of you, I opened our St. Andrew's Lenten Meditation Guide and read the thoughtful words of the Reverend Karen Vickers Budney. She said, "Today is a time of waiting, just as Mary waited at the foot of the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea waited to prepare Jesus' body for burial. We await the risen Christ, and we wonder what it means for us to rise with him to newness of life. Waiting is difficult. It takes patience and trust that new life can happen. Waiting is difficult. And even more difficult is the leap from death to new life, the leap from deep suffering to deep gladness. Our Easter vigil gives us the opportunity to wait for the good news of resurrection as we wade through our salvation history. God has been saving us over and over again. And we rehearse ancient stories of salvation to remind ourselves of how we have suffered and endured and walked with God. We remember moments of new life and moments of salvation for our spiritual ancestors on the ark and at the Red Sea. And we remember God's ancient promise to be with us in pain and enjoy. As far as any human being can tell, Noah's story was first told in the 10th century BC, 31 centuries ago. And the account of the Red Sea goes back to 5 centuries before the birth of Christ, 26 centuries ago. And tonight, together, we have waded through those stories of deep suffering and terrifying floods and cruel slavery, and we have been reminded of God's liberating, life-giving ways. God has been saving us for thousands and thousands of years, again and again. The stories that we read at the Easter Vigil keep us honest about the pain and the brutality that can be in this world. God's presence and God's gift of free will mean that sometimes 400 years of backbreaking slavery unfold before the triumph at the Red Sea. And our broken and sinful ways mean that destruction sometimes comes before salvation or a new beginning. The journey can be long and difficult. We are earthbound creatures, sometimes very muddy, sometimes very broken. But somehow God can see the glory mixed up in the mud. And if we begin Lent with our Ash Wednesday service, reminding us that we are dust, and to dust we shall return, our Easter Vigil message turns that truth upside down. And in the stories of our salvation history, we remember that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. We are made in the image of God. And God never loses sight of that fact. For thousands of years, God has seen echoes of glory mixed up with our dust. We are mud and glory. And God saves us every time. So tonight, the first question we need to ask ourselves is, can we see the mud and the glory bound up together in our human story? If we only see the mud, we are cynics. And if we only see the glory, we are dreamers or children. Can you see both? Can you go through your life staying awake to both the mud and the glory? Some people can't. One ancient folktale about Israel's deliverance at the Red Sea underscores how much easier it can be to just see the mud. Rabbi Rachel Sapphire told us this story a few weeks ago at our Lenten potluck. It comes from the first or second century before Christ, and it was written by rabbis who were teaching their own congregations about mud and glory. Here it is. Reuben and Shimon hurried along among the crowd crossing the Red Sea. They never once looked up. They noticed only that the ground under their feet was still a little muddy. "Yuck," said Reuben. "There's mud all over the place." "Blech," said Simon. "I have that muck all over my feet." "This is terrible," answered Reuben. "When we were slaves in Egypt, we had to make bricks out of mud just like this." "Yeah," said Shimon, "there's actually no difference between being a slave in Egypt and being free here." And so it went. Reuben and Shimon went whining and complaining all the way to freedom. For them, there was no miracle. Their eyes were closed. We can have sympathy for Reuben and Shimon. It is so easy to become disappointed. It's so easy to focus only on what's dirty or broken. But the stories that we hear tonight teach us that there is glory in that mud. We are made in the image of God. Our readings also teach us the second question that we need to ask tonight. Do we dare to believe in miracles? Do we dare to believe in events that shatter the laws of physics and biology as we currently understand them? Noah is saved from a catastrophic flood. The Israelites pass through the Red Sea on dry land and start a new life of freedom. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth is raised from the dead. What is striking about our gospel's account of Jesus' resurrection is how quickly the two women in the Matthew story accept the world-shattering truth the angel tells them. The angel says, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus Christ who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples." Those two Marys are off like a shot, as fast as Monday's marathon runners. Even before they themselves encounter the risen Christ, they believed. Like thunder and lightning unfolding together, as soon as the women hear the angel, they believe. When author C.S. Lewis was asked if he thought Jesus might just be a wise teacher or a great prophet, he famously said, "Jesus proclaims himself to be the Son of God. So either Jesus is the Son of God, or he's a liar. There's no middle ground." Faith is a risk in this secular age. It's easy to become paralyzed by other people's judgments about Christianity. And resurrection does not make sense scientifically. Like the Israelites' leap from Egypt to the dry land of the seabed, we have to leap from faith We have to leap for faith, from doubt to belief. We have to have a raw and honest conversation with ourselves. So is Jesus the Son of God? What do you know in your heart? If you're still seeking, still doubting, still uncertain, I invite you to doubt in even bigger ways. Study scripture, talk with your friends, talk with a priest, read some brilliant book written by a Jew or an agnostic, but thoroughly and deeply get stirred up by the challenge and arm yourself to be prepared to make a decision this year. Doubts are healthy. They are healthy, important parts of any spiritual journey that we undertake. And if you believe tonight, believe. Don't second guess yourself. Resist the harsh condescension of scoffers or the scorn of secular humanists. Embrace your faith, all of it. All the mud and the glory, all the fear and the joy. And get ready to sing and serve, to study and pray, to be a member of an ancient and holy company stretching all the way back to the first Easter and tonight's gospel text. These conversations we overhear in Matthew, gossip and gospel, 2,000 years old. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Do not be afraid. Claim the promise and the joy, not only in history, but also in your life, also in our church. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia! Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Alleluia! Christ is risen.